Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. Good to have you at the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. Praise the Lord. Wonderful things happen all the time, don't they? I will have to say, praise the Lord. We serve an awesome God. I'm so grateful for the King showing up here at this church and doing the wonderful things that he does. Wow. That healing school, we have a healing school one Saturday a month. And every time we have one, we get to see him do some wonderful things. So yesterday we had a great testimony, actually a couple of them. But back in December, one of the ladies that came, her 18-year-old daughter, I believe she's 18. The girl was 18 years of age, and they had been to the doctor, and the doctor told her she was going to have a bunch of tests run and had all kinds of things wrong with her. And so somebody, I don't know who it was, but a friend of theirs, when they was talking at church or wherever, telling people, you know, that we're going to have to go have all these tests run and all this stuff. Somebody said, well, here, why don't you listen to one of these CDs? And she handed him a CD by Pastor Thurman Scribner. Now, we ever heard of that guy?
I think so.
We have. Okay. Oh, he's that crazy guy.
No, he's not crazy.
So anyway, they came. They listened to the CD, and they listened to it, and they were impressed with the healing scriptures and everything they heard. And the testimonies, and so they came last December, and we got the little 18-year-old girl to repent of all of her sins, mother to repent of all of her sins and everything, and then we prayed the prayer of faith for the little girl, and she stood right here yesterday and told us she was healed. Did you see that, George?
Yes. She sat in front of us when we were back.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. She said she's healed of everything. Is that awesome? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And then we had I was at the door. I'm bouncing all over the place at a healing school. I was bounced out to the front door. And there was another lady came in with her little child. And I was talking about the lady that had just passed by me and told me the testimony and about how her daughter got healed of everything. And when I asked, what'd you get healed of? She said, everything. Well, this lady that was right behind her was coming in. And she said, and this is my son that you prayed for his right eye. He couldn't see out of his right eye. And today he can see perfect out of his right eye. I thought, you know, this is almost getting beyond coincidence now, isn't it, George?
Amen.
It's in other words, Jesus must be showing up here. I don't know anybody that can do these things except Jesus. Do you? No, Jesus is so awesome. He's so real, and we love him here. And of course, Miss Carrie here, you know, as I was talking to her today, I love to share with her about her testimony, because Miss Carrie and her husband, their faith has been built. And hold your hand up, Miss Carrie, so they know who you are. So anyway, they had a relative that was in Florida and was already admitted to hospice and was going to die. And there was nothing can be done, so they just put him in hospice and let him die. Well, Miss Carrie and her husband, they've been listening to my teaching for a long time about how we can heal the sick. And so some people say, you know, you can't do that. But anyway, they buy them a ticket, and they fly to Florida, and they go in. And of course, now when she goes, Carrie doesn't know how bad this lady looks. You know, she's been admitted to hospice. You know, usually you're on your last leg when they put you in hospice. Y'all know that? So you ain't going to go out and do a whole lot. You ain't going to run no 100-yard dash or nothing like that after you've been admitted to hospice. It's over. So anyway, Carrie and her husband walks in, and she looks at the relative, and immediately something hit her. Oh, my gosh, she looks awful. I mean, she just looks awful. And the Lord saw her faith was plummeting. So he said, Carrie, my dear, remember, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead after he'd been dead 4 days. Said, this woman's still alive. So that boosted Carrie's faith, didn't it, Carrie? That's what the Lord told you, right? And so anyway, she prayed, her and her husband prayed for this relative and thanked the Lord for healing her. And she went home from hospice, and she was just done great for months and months and months.
9 months.
9 months, and then she passed away. But for 9 months, she went out shopping. She went out eating with people. She got healed. It's just amazing. We can heal the sick, can we not? Now, what I'm going to teach you today, I want you to know that if you don't like what I'm going to teach, don't get mad at me. I didn't write the Bible. You know, Jesus wrote the Bible, right? I mean, if Jesus said, go lay hands on the sick and cast out them devils, if you don't believe demons work or you don't believe you can heal the sick, well, Jesus said that, didn't he, Carrie? In other words, as many times you heard me say it, you've checked me out and it was in your Bible. And so it worked for you. That's amazing. But anyway, we're going to, first of all, I want to cleanse and purify this church. Now, I want you to know that most of you, until you started coming to my church and heard me teach on this once in a while, most of you didn't believe that you could forgive sin. That was kind of a new one on you too, wasn't it, George? It certainly was on me when I read that. And I looked there, but John 20:23, I want us to look at that first in the King James, and then I want us to look at it in the NLT. But I want you to look at John 20:23 and see what it says. Now then, when you look at John 20:23, what does that say? Okay, now wait a minute. Now, did that say, whosoever sins you remit? Is that what that Bible says, George?
That's what it says, Pastor.
Now that's kind of a lump in your throat, isn't it?
Not anymore.
Oh, not? Not anymore. Okay, some people say, well, I don't know what remit means. Okay, let's look at it in the NLT. Turn it over to the NLT and let's turn to John 20:23 in the NLT and see what that says. What does that say?
If you forgive anyone.
Uh-oh, now that's pretty clear this time, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
If you forgive anybody.
Anyone.
It's done.
It's done.
You know, it's amazing how things happen, but this is a true story. This happened this morning at 4 a.m. Cheryl and I was laying there at solid sleep, and a man dropped his cell phone, and it pushed a button that rang my number. And my phone went off at 4 a.m., and I thought, I woke up, and I thought, what is this? And so I answered the phone, and he said, oh, Thurman, when he realized who it was, he said, I'm so sorry. I dropped my phone, and it hit something that caused it to call your number. And I said, well, praise the Lord. He said, well, I got you on the phone. I might as well tell you this story. I said, okay, what's the story? He said, you remember so-and-so, a guy that you gave us some CDs to that was from Alaska? I said, yes. He said, I talked to him the other day. We met and had coffee. He flew down here to deliver an airplane or something. And he said, we were talking, and he said, he brought up your name. Said, do you know Thurman Scrivener? Uh-huh. And he said, oh, yeah, I know Thurman Scrivener. He said, you know that guy? He gave me some CDs one time when I was down there having an airplane worked on. And he said, we can forgive sin. Then he said, no, he didn't say that. God said that. So he said, since we've gone back to Alaska, he said, in our church, we used to never see no miracles. But we prayed for people, but we hardly ever saw anybody get healed. So he said, after I listened to you say that the problem is you don't remit or forgive people's sins. He said, we had a lady the other day that we couldn't get her healed. And so I just told him, I said, you know, the Bible says we can forgive sin. So we're going to find this person's sin, and we're going to forgive that sin in the name of Jesus. And he said, and then we prayed for that woman, and said that woman was instantly healed right there.
Amen.
Said, I don't know why in the world, everybody in the world is not teaching this because it's in the Bible. But he said, most people fight against it. Now then, did Jesus say there that whosoever sins we forgive, they're forgiven?
They are.
So before we pray for somebody, what as Christians, first of all, what should we do? We should remit our sins. Lord, I ask you to forgive my sin. Cleanse me and purify me and wash me in the blood. Now then, if you get your sins forgiven and washed in the blood, are you in pretty good shape? You ought to be able to pray the prayer of faith for somebody now, right?
Amen.
So you pray. But I just thought how unique that was that at 4 a.m. this morning, a man just dropped his phone and it rang my number. Now, who in the world could have possibly done that, George?
I've got a good idea.
Yeah, you got a good idea. I have a good idea, too. Only God knows every one of our numbers. Is that right?
Amen.
He can direct a phone call at 4 o'clock in the morning. It was amazing. And then he told us some wonderful things. And Cheryl said that she was standing there by the way, because she jumped right up when the phone went off at 4 o'clock. She said, wow, that was worth getting up for. It was worth getting up for, was it not? Just think of what we can do in the name of Jesus if we only believe. Now, praise God. Before we go on, let's see, Gary, that's got the little boy. Where are you at, Gary? Where are you at? Okay. You got a testimony about your little son, right?
Oh, yes.
Come up here and tell us this testimony. Let me get a microphone here where they can hear you. I want the folks to hear what your testimony is about this little boy. Praise God. Tell us what happened.
Okay, well, I have a 9-month-old son. He's back here in the nursery with the mother right now. And anyhow, when he was born, he was coming down the tunnel and he was crooked and his heart rate was going really low. And they said, well, we're going to have to do a cesarean, which we didn't want, but we want the baby to be living. So we said, okay, we'll do that. So they have the cesarean and I went in with her and they dressed me in, you know, the sterile clothes, and I held her hand, and then they pulled the baby out, and then they said, you can look at your baby now. And I went over and looked at my baby, and I turned around, and there my wife is wide open on the table, and her uterus is up the size of a pineapple up on her chest. And I mean, what a sight. He should have warned me, but he didn't. And so I watched him sew it all back together and put it back in her, and what a sight that was. But anyhow, we got the boy then, and we noticed the boy had where his nose and his eye meet come together, he had like an artery that was popping out. And it was a birth defect. I mean, it was very noticeable. Anybody would have seen it the rest of his life. It would have been very plain. People would have seen it. And we thought, well, that's really too bad. And we prayed about it and asked the Lord to touch it and heal it. But it stayed there, and 3 weeks passed. And one morning, Marty was laying on the bed next to the baby, and she says, boy, I'm really concerned about this. And I said, yeah, I am too. I said, well, we prayed about it. Let's pray about it again. So we prayed about it again, and then I got up, and I went to the other end of the house, and I was doing something else. And 2 hours later, Marty comes running into me, and she says, Gary, it disappeared.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I said, what disappeared? Because I didn't know what she's talking about, you know. She said, that thing on Joseph's eye. And so I ran in there, and I looked at it, and you could not see. There was no trace whatsoever. And so I was so blessed that God would choose to, just through my prayer, and that it would bless me and heal my son.
Yeah. Amen.
And, you know,
amen.
And I know more than you all that I'm probably the most undeserving of that. But you know, but God, just his mercy
is
awesome.
Oh,
and then I'll tell you one other thing. There's this one guy I've been talking to on the phone, and he had me praying for his mother, and you know, she's in the hospital, you know, up in Canada, and he's just having me pray for her, and or he just told me about it, and he didn't ask me to. I just started speaking the word of faith and praying and sending them texts that I was proclaiming her healed and everything, and I did that a bunch, and I just got a text from him just last night. He says, I just want to thank you for your ministry and praying for my mother. He says, now last week she played 3 rounds of golf.
Wow.
And 9 months ago, she couldn't even feed herself.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do we serve an awesome God? He is just out of this world, and he wants to do good things for his children. And I just stand in awe. Now, Lord, as we take that scripture of John 20:23, whosoever sins we forgive, they are forgiven. Lord, we remit the sins. I want everybody to repeat this with me. Lord, we remit their sins. Lord, we remit our sins. So, Lord, we are clean.
Lord, we are clean.
We are pure.
We're
ready to hear your word. With no binding, no blindness, nowhere. We are ready to receive your word. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, right now, I can say it again. This is the cleanest church in town. Right now. You agree with that? Yes, this is the cleanest church in town because we have remitted everybody's sins, including our own. So right now, for a few seconds, until we have time for a bad thought, we have no sin. So you need to capture every thought today and make sure you walk in obedience to God's word and walk in love. Now then, since we've remitted everybody's sins, I'm going to pray for Jeff special because we have a couple in Panama where Jeff's going to go down there tomorrow. And this couple have been to over 100 doctors with their two children. And they can't get them healed. We have learned that any time that you have a child that's sick, you need to look, a little child, like a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old, I believe that's what they are. And nothing seems to be working right. We have learned that the problem is not with the child. The problem is with the parents. So anytime you take a child that's sick and afflicted, you know, I learned this the hard way many years ago. In fact, when I learned this, God revealed this to me. He spoke to me audibly one day and told me I was having trouble with a couple. And they had children, and the children were sick. And the Lord just spoke to me and told me that the problem is because of the parents. Now, that's in the scripture, but I had never picked up on it. I didn't have any knowledge of this. That the sins of the parents. Now, how many of you remember reading the sins of the parents will be passed to the children to the fourth generation? You've heard that, right? So it's in the Bible, but we don't believe it. But anyway, when the Lord told me that, well, I found out that, in fact, that couple, one of those couples, that wasn't the one I was talking about, but that one of those couples after that came to me that had three boys. One of them had a leg problem, and then the other two had allergies and asthmas. And when they came to me, and they said, and they worked for a church, and they told me, said, Thurman, we want to have you to pray for our boys. We understand you have a healing ministry, and we have three sick boys. And I said, well, how are you two getting along? Are you living in any kind of sin? And, of course, they both said, no, you know, we work for a church. You know, we're not living in sin. I said, but the evidence is against you. There's something wrong. I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing something wrong. So I said, the curse without a cause cannot come to rest. That's written in Proverbs. Yeah. Yeah. So in Proverbs, if you read that, you'll see that the curse causes cannot come upon you. In other words, what that means is you can't get a spanking just without a reason. And so that's what that means. And so you have to sin. So anyway, as I spoke to this, actually the mother is the one that came. And when I talked to her and I asked her a question, I said, how are you and your husband getting along? Now they have three children and they have lost three in the birth problems. Miscarriages. Yeah, in miscarriages. Three little children had died when they were born. And that's sad, but you know, but sin, you know, sin does that. And so anyway, when I asked her, I said, how are you and your husband getting along? She said, we're not getting along at all. Now then, what does God say about that? Does God say in his word, George, does God say husbands love your wives?
Yes, he does.
And does he say wives submit to your own husband in everything?
Everything.
He does say that, doesn't he? Well, what is it we don't understand about that? You know, I don't think we understand that this book is written for us so that we can do what it says. So anyway, when I told her, I said, ma'am, you have to forgive your husband. I said, you have to walk in love with your husband or your boys are never going to get well. She said, you're trying to tell me my boys are sick because of my sin? I said, yes, ma'am, that's what the Bible says. And she said, I don't believe that. I said, well, ma'am, that's what's wrong. I said, you got to submit to your husband. You got to love him. And she said, no. She said, you're telling me my boys are sick because of my sin? I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, I don't believe that. And so she got up, and as she starts out, she said, I believe you're crazy. She said, my husband works for a church, and I have never, and she said, I've been in church all my life, and I've never heard anything like this at all. She said, I believe you're crazy. And I told her as she's going out the door, I said, young lady, I said, why don't you ask God? He'll tell you. How many of y'all believe God talks? Amen. He does, doesn't he? Yes, he does. Thank you, Jesus, for talking. We're so grateful, Master, that you do talk to your children. So as she walks out the door, she's screaming, you're an idiot. You know, you're crazy. See, I mean, I've run into a few of those, you know, so I know what it is to be called an idiot, you know, so that's okay. Don't make any difference. I told her, I said, ma'am, you ask Jesus and he'll tell you. Well, she starts talking. She's mad now. And on the way home, she said, Lord, this man tells me that my children are sick because of my sin. And she said, I don't believe that at all. And he spoke to her and says, Terry, he's right. You need to go back to hear what my son has to say. He'll tell you the truth and you need to obey what he tells you. And she said, don't you know that I told you to submit to me? And she said, well, Lord, I don't have a problem submitting to you. And he says, what does submit mean? And she said, well, it means obey. Okay, so I told you to obey your husband. She said, obey my husband? She said, I will never. It'll be over his dead body. I will never obey my husband. And she said, the Lord spoke to her and said, no, Terry, it won't be over your husband's dead body. It'll be over your children's dead bodies. Well, do you know that can get a mother's attention? And so this woman, she comes back and she walks in the door and she says, Pastor, I guess I need to repent. God, I did do what you said. I asked God and he did speak to me. She says, he told me that you knew, you had the information I needed and I need to do what you say. And so she came back in and I sat down with her and we talked. And I told her, I said, you know, you've got an unforgiveness or bitterness or something against your husband, obviously. She said, I do. And she said, I really just don't get along with him at all. And in fact, she said, I prayed the other day he'd have a car wreck and get killed. So I'd get double indemnity on the insurance. So I could pay off the car and the house. Now, isn't it amazing what we do? And we don't have any idea what we're doing, you know, how we're being stupid. But anyway, she repented and she went home that night and told her husband that she repented to him, and he thought she was going to come in and ask for a divorce because he said, I'm ready. You know, I'm not going to live with this woman no more. I've had it with her. And she walked in and said, honey, I ask you to forgive me. I'm going to walk in love, and I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. And he couldn't believe it. He fell out on the floor. You know, he said, I can't believe it. But anyway, see, now then, see, they're doing what God says do. They're walking in love. And so anyway, after they got back in their love walk, they made up together and forgive each other and everything. They brought the three boys back to me. And I prayed for the three boys. Now, the two boys that had allergies and asthma, the two youngest ones, the Lord instantly healed both those children. I mean, the allergies and asthma, he healed both of them just right there. But the older one, which was about 10, he had a problem with his leg. And the doctor said that within 6 to 10 months, he would be in a wheelchair and he'd be an invalid the rest of his life. Well, I mean, after we prayed, after we stood on God's word, and I prayed for him, of course, I didn't see anything happen because it was all internal in his legs and I couldn't see nothing. He could still walk, so he was okay as far as walking, but his leg was being destroyed day by day. So anyway, about 6-8 months later, they took him. They got up one morning, they had an appointment at Children's Hospital in Dallas. They went to take this boy to the hospital, and as they got up this morning, the Lord spoke to the husband and says, today you will be tested. Somebody says, why? Would God really test me?
Yes.
Oh, you think he would, huh, George?
I know he does.
Oh, you know he does, because it's in the book, and you've been there before, right? I have too. I guarantee he tests us. He tests us all just like he did you that day, everything. But anyway, they went to the hospital and they done all the tests and the doctor couldn't believe it. He said, the leg is going the other direction and with where it is now, we could do surgery and I believe the boy will not be an invalid. He'll be able to walk. And the little boy said, oh, Daddy, please let them do the surgery because I don't want to be an invalid. What young boy wants to be an invalid? Nobody. He said, no, son. We're going to trust God. I now know what God meant when he said, today you will be tested. Now then he's healing the leg and it's getting better. And because it shows up good and they can do surgery and maybe correct it. Now then he's going to be tested. Is he going to let the doctors do the thing or is he going to let God finish it? You know how many of us miss those tests? The majority of us. So anyway, the little boy crying and everything, begging Daddy to let the doctor do the surgery. He says, no, absolutely not. Now I know what God meant when he said he's going to test me today. So he said, we're going to let God finish this job and it's done. Well, here a while back, a few months ago, they both sat right here on the front row, 10, 12 years later. I asked him, I said, how many times, I said, used to when y'all were in your problem, I said, how many times did you go to hospital? She said, every 2 to 3 weeks, we'd be in the hospital with those kids. Something wrong with them. But she says, after we got right with each other and you prayed, she said, both of the kids with allergies and asthma has 10 to 12 years ago, has never been back to a doctor, not one single time. And I said, how about the boy that had the leg that was bad? She said, his leg is perfect. He's 21 or 22 years of age now, she said, and he runs and plays like any normal boy. Now then, who would have ever dreamed that mother's sin would be passed to the children? Isn't that amazing? We've seen that a lot. So,
and what did they say about how they were getting along?
Oh, at that time, they were getting along good.
So much of hell.
Oh, yeah. When I asked her, I said, how's your life? She said, the first 10 years of our marriage was hell on earth. But the last 10 years has been a wonderful thing. Do you know whenever husbands and wives do what God says, does it make it work real well?
Amen.
That's all you got to do. Now, so we're going to read in Timothy. I want us to turn to 1 Timothy. And first of all, I want to ask you a question. The Lord says we're supposed to die to sin, too. How many of y'all know you're supposed to be dead to sin? Do you know that? So since you've been cleaned and purified by the blood, do you feel like you're dead to sin today? Okay, you ready to hear the word of God? I am dead to sin and alive to Christ. So I'm ready. Okay. Do you have the mic, honey? Yeah. You have the mic, right? Okay. Okay, so let's look at that. So if you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Timothy. Okay, I'm going to let Cheryl read for me.
This letter is from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, appointed by the command of God our Savior and Christ Jesus, who gives us hope. I'm writing to Timothy, my true son in the faith. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace.
Okay, go on to the next verse.
When I left for Macedonia, I urged you to stay there in Ephesus and stop those whose teaching is contrary to the truth. Don't let them waste their time in endless discussion of myths and spiritual pedigrees. These things only lead to meaningless speculations which don't help people live a life of faith in God.
Okay, let's stop there just a second and let's talk just a little bit about this. Do you know anywhere out there today where people are not teaching the truth? Isn't that amazing? You know, that Paul is very clear here, you know, that we need to watch to see who's teaching something that's contrary to the truth. Well, you know, I was in a Baptist church most of my life. You know, when I was 9 months before I was born, I went to Baptist church because my mother carried me. I had been in church all my life, like some of you have. But until about 30 years ago or 40 years ago, I believed everything the Baptist taught. And I guess most of it was true. But it's not all true because they really pounded on me that I was a sinner saved by grace. And that I had to repent every day because I couldn't live through the day without a sin in my life. But now I've realized that God's word says I'm supposed to live without sin. And, you know, so I try my best to not sin. And if I do sin anyway, I remit and repent of that sin, and I want to be clean and pure and holy. Don't you? Yes, I don't want any. I heard this story so many times when I was serving as a deacon in a Baptist church. When I'd go to visit somebody to come to the Baptist church, usually it was the woman. She'd come visit the church, and then I'd go to their house to visit her and her husband. Well, and the husband said, "Well, I don't go to church because there's too many hypocrites in the church." Is there hypocrites in the church? Oh yeah, they're here. They're all over the place, you know. And there's people, you know. You don't tell them, but you want to tell them. Well, you know, then if you don't want to mess up a church, well, for sure you don't want to go down there. But, yeah, I don't tell them that, but that would be true, would it not? There's all kinds of hypocrites out there, and so. But you know, we need to live our life like we are really true Christians. Now, if you're really a true Christian and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will not go around sinning. You will act like a born-again, Spirit-filled son of God. Is that right, Gracie? Amen. Yeah, I mean, in your business and everything, you'll do everything. You'll be a person of integrity. You know, if you're a real Christian and you find somebody, and of course, you find somebody that says they're a Christian, and if they own a place of business, and if they're really a Christian, man, you can trust your life. I mean, if the guy builds houses or repairs cars or it doesn't make any what it is. If he's really a Christian, can you depend on him? Yes, you can. He will absolutely. You know, I'll tell you a story. When I used to own a shop up in Sherman, Texas, me and a friend of mine owned a little shop, and we worked on cars. We had a really good business up there. And one day this older lady, she had a problem with her car, that it was leaking oil underneath the back of it in the garage. So she called me and wanted me to come down and look at it. So I went down there and looked at it, and I told her, I said, "Yes, ma'am, the pinion seal's leaking." So I said, we just need to put a pinion seal in it. It's no problem. And so she said, "Okay, I'll bring it out tomorrow and let you fix it." I said, "Okay." So she brought it out the next day, and I put a pinion seal in it. You know, it's on the back end of the car. You know, some of you know what that is, some of you don't. But anyway, I put the new pinion seal in, filled it up with oil and everything great. And the next morning she called me, she said, "Son, you need to come down and check my car. It won't start." So I went down and checked it, and the starter wasn't working. The starter had gone bad. And she said, "Now then, I never had any trouble with that car till you worked on it." So I said, "Yes, ma'am, I understand." So I took the car back out to the shop, and I pulled the starter off of it. And sure enough, the brushes were wore out on it, you know, and there's all kinds of little stuff there. So I overhauled the starter for her, put some new parts in it, and fixed it like a brand new one. And I took it back to her, and it started. She went out there and checked it 3 or 4 times, and it started every time. And she said, "Okay, whatever you did, you fixed it." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "I fixed the starter. It's done." She said, "Now, I guess you're not going to charge me for this since you've done this." I said, "No, ma'am, that's right. I'm not going to charge you. I'm going to give this to you." I said, "You know, I'm sorry that I worked on it, and the next day it wouldn't start." So I said, "But I fixed that. The problem's taken care of." Now then, if I had told her that there's no connection between the starter, which is on the front of the car, and the pinion seals on the back, she would not have believed that. But I told her, I said, "Yo, ma'am," and I call lots of older ladies young ladies, but I was a young man back in those days, really a young man. And I probably wasn't 30 years old, I guess, or something like that. But I told her, I said, "Your car's in good shape, and it should give you no problem for a long time." And she said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Oh, yes, ma'am. I go to church every Sunday. I'm a Baptist." And she said, "Well, one thing about it, I just found out you're really a real Christian. You fixed my car. When you messed it up, you fixed my car." But you know, I mean, you know, if you can't, when you find a woman that knows nothing about a car, and her car started good all these years, and now all of a sudden the pinion seal leaks and the starter goes bad over that one day period, you ain't never going to convince that woman that you didn't do that. So what do? You just fix it, you know. And so no big deal. I fix it and give it back to her. And let me tell you what, over the years, I had that shop 3 or 4 more years before I went back to aviation school. In those 3 or 4 years, I have no idea how many people came out there and says, "I need to talk to Thurman Scribner." I said, yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. She said, Miss So-and-so said, you're the best mechanic and most honest mechanic in town. And they say, if you fix my car, you'll fix it, and you'll fix it right, and you won't overcharge me. And so I have no idea how much business that brought me. Now, the word of mouth advertisement is the best advertisement anybody can get. If you do things, now, if a man, that had been a man, you know, and he knew where the starter was, knew what the pinion seal was, he would have known. I said, yeah, that pinion seal, we fixed it. Next day it wouldn't start. He said, well, it's just a coincidence that the starter went out the same next day, so just fix my starter. He would have had no problem with me charging him to fix his starter. But, you know, not a woman. You know, I mean, she just don't know. So, man, I mean, when that car wouldn't start, it's my fault. I did it. So anyway, this is I believe that this is the way every Christian should treat everybody he's working with. I mean, I if there's an issue, now if there's not an issue, you know, if it, like I said, been a man-to-man thing, there wouldn't have been an issue. We'd have just said, okay, your starter went bad, and he would have never questioned it. He said, well, at least one thing about it, there wasn't no oil under the driveway this morning, so my seal's obviously not leaking. You must have fixed it, and it works good. But that lady sent me no telling how much business over the years. But what the scripture here says, stop those teaching what is contrary to the truth. The truth of the Word of God is we can pray for people and we get our prayers answered. And it doesn't just have to be for healing, does it? I think of how many Christians never produce any fruit for the kingdom at all because they've never heard that, hey, God will answer your prayer. God will answer your prayer. I was just telling Jerry and Camilla back there a while ago. I said, I don't know if you remember this, but Jerry remembered the lady's name was Helen. I said, there was a lady in my Bible study class, and I said, she came in, and everybody knew that I was different. I believed I could pray for people and God would answer my prayer. So anyway, Helen, she came in and she had a necklace. Camilla had a little chain around her neck there like that, and I saw it a while ago, and it reminded me of the story. And I said, you know, that's like that lady. And Jerry said, yeah, her name was Helen. She had a big old black mole right here on her chest. And it was bothering her. She was moving her little chain around because it was hanging right off of that black mole. And I said, ma'am, would you like for Jesus to take that thing off of your neck? And she said, well, of course I would. I said, well, have you asked him to yet? And she says, no. See, we don't believe that we can do what this book says we can do. So she says, I've never prayed about that. I said, well, can I pray about it? She said, yes. So I reached up right there where the naked skin was, where the little mole was and the chain was, and I put my finger on the little mole, and I said, I curse you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to fall off of her neck and never come back in Jesus' name. No. Did Jesus say we could pray for things like that?
Yes.
If Jesus said pray about
everything.
Oh, everything? So if I want to get rid of that, I need to go to the Lord instead of the doctor, right? So instead of going to the doctor, and I have no problem with good doctors, praise God, if you got a good doctor, that's probably the reason you're not already dead, because most of us don't have enough faith to pray and trust God, you know, so that's, I was that way one time. So, but anyway, I prayed for that lady, and I thanked him, thanked the Lord for taking that thing off, And I think it was two or three Sundays later, every Sunday she was there, and it was still there, but that second or third Sunday, whatever it was, whenever she came in and I looked and I said, oh, what happened? She said, I was standing at the mirror looking at that thing, and all of a sudden I just said, Lord, thank you for taking that thing off. And she said, that thing just fell off my chest on the floor. What happens when you thank him and praise him for answering your prayer? Lord, thank you. Thank you. Now, then in some churches, unfortunately, some people will tell you that you don't have to produce fruit for the kingdom. You know, that it's okay. You don't have to teach people to do things. In fact, I had an email the other day. A lady contacted us, wanted us to pray. She said, I've been listening to your CDs and DVDs. And she said, I've been going to a church. And she said, I'm a single woman, she said. So she said, I've been going to the singles Bible study, and said one of the associate pastors is teaching it. Said, we come to a place in there where it talks about no sex before marriage. at all. And she said, the pastor said, you know, God doesn't really mean that. He's okay with a little sex before marriage. She said, you know, I listened to your CDs and I went and checked you out in the Word of God and said, what you said was right and what he said was wrong. I said, well, I guarantee, you know, he does say absolutely no sex before marriage. And he says every act, how many, Scott and me have gone over this several times, how many acts of disobedience is going to be punished?
Every.
Woo, that's scary, isn't it, Scott?
Yes.
Yeah, me and Scott, we looked at that the other day in Hebrews 2. I mean, it is awful to think that every act of disobedience to the law, you will be punished if you do it. So I told her, I said, ma'am, you don't want to do that. She said, well, I'm thinking about leaving this church and finding another. And I said, no. Don't leave. I said, they need you. Do they not? They need somebody that can pray in faith. So I said, you need to be on your face saying, Lord, soften those people's hearts, open their understanding to the Word of God, and let them see the truth of your word. And I said, you need to pray for them, and then you need to stay there, and every time you're in, go to every Bible study, and every time anybody says anything, you follow along with the scripture, and if what they're teaching doesn't exactly coincide with what's written in the word, you tell them, you know, when they say, oh, God says no sex before marriage, but he doesn't really mean that, I said, you just take your Bible and say, now, yeah, people, let's look here, what the pastor just told us here. But that doesn't agree with my Bible. My Bible says no sex before marriage. And I believe if God put it in there, he says no sex before marriage, he meant no sex before marriage. Do you believe that? I do. I guarantee I do. And so I said, you need to stay right where you are. But see, she wanted to make it easy. She wanted to go to a nice church somewhere where they teach the Word of God with no problems. And she can just be a part of it and just sit there and have to do nothing. I said, no, that's not what he sent you there for. You need to be salt. I mean, you need to cut that wound open, boy, and then you need to pour that salt in there, really pour it in there heavy. Because and stop those who are teaching contrary to the truth. You know, now, if somebody teaches something, let me ask this question. All of you know that I teach the Bible line by line, word by word. Is that right?
Amen.
Have you ever heard me teach anything that's not in the Bible?
No.
So I try my best to teach everything exactly like God says, because he tells me in his word that those that are teachers are going to be judged more strictly.
Yes.
So if I have been made a teacher of God's word, I better get my ducks lined up, or I might get them shot off. Now, I don't think I want to do that. You know, I want to teach the truth, because if I'm teaching a lie, wow. So I don't want to teach what's contrary to the truth. Don't let them waste their time. Go ahead right there, honey, and read that.
Don't let them waste their time in endless discussion of myths and spiritual pedigrees. These things only lead to meaningless speculations which don't help people live a life of faith in God.
Wow. Live a life of faith in God. Is that what we're trying to do?
Yes.
We're trying to live a life of faith in God. I will have to say, one of the seminary professors that wrote an article about me here a while back, he said, Pastor Thurman misinterprets a whole lot of God's word. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, he's a seminary professor, you know. So he said, Pastor Thurman, he misinterprets a whole lot of God's word. But he said, well, I'll say one thing about him. He said, he's an old country boy. He's got a deep voice. And said, people enjoy listening to him teach. But said, one thing about it, he's not in this for the money, because said we checked him out and found out he's giving away 10,000 CDs and DVDs a week, and he don't charge nobody for nothing. So he said he's definitely not into it for the money. And I thought, I'm not into it for the money, am I?
Yeah.
Did you know that it takes a lot of money to send out 10,000 to 15,000 CDs and DVDs every week?
Yeah.
I mean, it takes a lot, and it takes a lot to run this ministry. But guess who pays the bills?
Jesus.
The Lord does. Absolutely right. Yeah, so we're... Now then, if there's only one time that God didn't meet our bills, And that's that time whenever somebody went to Egypt and Israel and they came back and they gave us the Ten Commandments in Hebrew. And I couldn't read it, but it said it's the Ten Commandments in Hebrew. So I looked at it and I thought, man, that's great. It's about this big. And so I put it in a frame and took it out there and put it in the front of the entryway to the church. Did my mic just go off? It's still okay. So anyway, I went out there and put that up there, and the next week I didn't get any mail. Now, I thought that's unique, because usually, you know, we get, you know, 5 or 10 letters or 20 letters or now a day. And some people send prayer requests, some people send checks and everything like that. So when I didn't get any mail, I thought, well, now that's strange. I wonder what happened to the mail. All week long, it didn't get no mail. So we taught the Word of God again next Sunday, and we went to the mailbox on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and didn't get but 1 or 2 letters. I thought, now this is... So the next week, I told everybody, I said, you know, it costs a lot of money to run this ministry and to pay everybody. And I said, you know, if I don't get some money this week, we're going to have to lay off everybody. I said, because I can't have you working if I can't pay you. And I said, obviously, I'm not doing God's will if he's not paying the bill. So anyway, the next week, there was no money. 3 weeks in a row, I went to my bank and I drawed out all the money that I had, all my own personal money. And I paid everybody. And I said, I don't know what we've done wrong, but we're going to pray. Now, when you run out of money, if you're not a praying man, guess what? It's time to pray. The Lord, he knows how to get your attention. So anyway, I ask everybody that Sunday in church, I ask everybody to pray, like I've done here many times for different things. I ask everybody, I said, I don't know what I've done, but I've done something. And God doesn't like it because he's cut off my finances. I said, I can't pay the bills. And I've just got enough money left, you know, this week. And then after that, it's over. Everybody's going to have to stay at home because I haven't got any money. So I ask everybody to pray. We have stopped and had a prayer meeting. I said, Lord, this is serious. We got to have, I know what we did wrong. We didn't mean to do anything wrong, but if we did something wrong, obviously we did, because you cut off our finances. And I only know one that can cut off your finances, don't you? Yeah. So we prayed and we thanked the Lord. And then one of the couples that was going home, they live about an hour drive from here. Just as they got to the driveway at the house, the Lord spoke to her and told her to go back and tell Thurman the problem is the Ten Commandments he put on the wall in his church. I thought, so she come back. They came back and told me, said, Thurman, the Lord spoke to us just as we got home and said to tell you the problem is the Ten Commandments. I thought, what? So I went out there and looked at the Ten Commandments, and I looked at them really close. And right in the middle of the Star of David at the top was the Muslim Anyway, I said, oh my gosh, there's that Muslim's dot, that red dot. They had put their curse on it. So anyway, I took it down, burned it, throwed it away, and did everything. And I said, Lord, we are so sorry, we repent. Now, when we repent, does God always forgive us? Yes. That's what he says. Lord, we repent. Okay, that was on Sunday. So Monday morning, the next day, I go to the post office, and the post office box, it's even got a separate box in the back that's got mail in it. They couldn't get it all in that mailbox. Now, who in the world can cut off all of your income except God? Who can cause your telephone to ring at 4 o'clock in the morning with somebody give you a testimony about Alaska except God? And then even my own wife said, honey, that was worth waking up for. Isn't that amazing? Who's running the show around here, George? God is. Guaranteed God's running the show, yeah. But these people, is there people out there today that's teaching what's contrary to the truth? Yes, they are, you know, and if it's written in God's Word, what does that say, honey?
These things only lead to meaningless speculations, which don't help people live a life of faith in God.
Okay, now if I tell you that it makes no difference what you do as a Christian, you're saved by grace, so you can do whatever you want to do. No. I mean, there's people saying that. That is a lie. In fact, I was listening to one of the Christian television deal the other day, and I heard a good preacher, and he is a well-known good preacher, but he said, we're saved by grace, and once we're saved, you don't ever have to repent of sin again. I heard him say that myself, and I thought, oh my gosh, He said, no, it's all taken care of. Once you accept Jesus, now you're saved by grace, and you don't ever have to confess sin, and you don't ever have to pray again for yourself. I thought, I can't believe a pastor as big as this guy is that preaches to the millions of people he preaches to doesn't know that the Lord clearly told us in his word that we are to confess our sin, because we all know we have sinned at different times, right? So if the scripture says you are to confess your sin and believe that you're forgiven, then you need to do that. Now, let me tell you, as I looked at that story that guy was saying, talking about, you don't have to confess sin no more, immediately the story of Jenna come to my heart. Here's a little girl that was 6 years old that had eczema all over her body. I mean, she had sores everywhere. The mother and daddy both repented of every sin they could think of. And that little girl, we prayed for that little girl for a year and a half, and no results. But we kept praying. Finally, after a year and a half, I told the husband, I said, I want you and your wife to go to God with Jeremiah 33:3, which says you can call unto me and I will answer you. I said, I want you to take that scripture. I want you to go to the Lord. And I want you to ask him, what did y'all do that caused him to curse your child with this sickness? And most people don't believe God can curse his children with sickness anymore, but boy, it's in the Bible. He said, how long do we have to pray, Pastor? I said, until he answers. So they prayed for 3 weeks. And then the Lord spoke to the mother and said, lying and deception. She called me that morning after she had heard the Lord's voice and told me what she had heard. And I said, well, Sally, do you know what that means? Lying and deception. She says, yes, I do. Now, it's amazing. We'd been trying to get rid of all of their sin for a year and a half. We thought we had confessed every sin known to man. But we didn't, because we didn't know about the lying and deception. She had forgotten it. And so anyway, I said, what does that mean? She said, well, when I was 39, my husband was 43, and I went to my husband and told him, honey, before I get too old I want to have babies, I want one more child. My husband said, honey, I'm 43 years old. Our kids are nearly grown. I don't want any more children. I don't want to start over with little ones. And she said, okay, I will do everything I can to keep from getting pregnant. But she said, I lied. I did everything I could to get pregnant. And then when I got pregnant, I went to my husband and said, oh, honey, I was doing everything I could to keep from getting pregnant, but it must be God's will for us to have a baby because I'm pregnant. So they had this little girl, carried her 9 months, delivered normal. But whenever they had the child, the little child was covered with these sores. And we got pictures, all kinds of pictures out there in the hallway of this child. And she said, wow. So I said, well, that's it. There's absolutely no doubt about it. That's the problem. So I said, did you ask your husband to forgive you? And she said, I did. I said, did he forgive you? And she said, oh, yes. I said, did you ask God to forgive you? And she said, yes. I said, well, he always forgives us. Isn't it wonderful when Jesus says, confess your sins and I will forgive you? So anyway, she confessed her sin to her husband and to the Lord. I said, now then, I can pray the prayer of faith for the healing of your daughter. And she said, Pastor, now that I've learned it was my sin that made her sick, I don't want her just to be healed. I said, what do you mean? She said, you showed us if we walk in obedience to God's word, that we can ask God for anything. John 14:13-14 clearly says we can ask for anything. Does it say that? John 14:13-14 clearly says that if you come to the Lord, you can ask him for anything. So I said, well, so Sally, what do you want the Lord to do for your baby? She said, I want you to ask God to give my child a brand new coat of skin. Now, do you believe God can do that?
Amen.
Oh, boy. It ain't no problem for the master, is it, George?
It's not.
Obviously, it's not. If you hadn't ever looked at those pictures out there, when you leave today, you need to look at them. So anyway, we prayed the prayer of faith after she repented of her sins. Now, remember, I've heard this story now that once you sin, after you're saved by grace, you don't never have to confess sin again. But we had confessed sin, everything we could think of, and could not get this little girl healed until we found the right sin. And then when we confessed it, and she confessed it, and her husband confessed it, and then I prayed the prayer of faith, after they were clean and pure, in 2 weeks, that little girl did not have a mark on her body. Nowhere. She's completely healed. We got a beautiful letter from the family just this last year. They said, thank God for the Living Savior Ministries. Said, Jenna is now 17. She just had her 17th birthday and said, her skin is so beautiful, it just glows. They were so grateful for that little girl. She's so beautiful. God did not want them to sin. He did not want that mother to lie and deceive her husband. That didn't fit the rules, did it? When it says, wives, submit to your own husbands and everything, obey them. Wives, obey your husband. If the husband said, honey, we don't want no more children. We got all the children we want. Case closed. Yeah, that's it. No more children. Is that right? Who's the boss in the home? According to the word, the husband. And every wife is to submit to him. Now then, let's go on and let's go to the next verse and let's read on her, honey.
The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith. But some people have missed this whole point. They have turned away from these things and spend their time in meaningless discussions.
No way. No, do you see this same kind of thing happening today?
Yeah.
It's amazing, you know, that we turn away from, I mean, we as Christians are to be a child of a pure heart. I got to be able to trust you with my life, right, George?
Amen.
As a son of God and a daughter of God, we need to be able to trust each other with our lives. This is, I mean, we're to come from a pure heart. I mean, absolutely a pure heart and continue to live in faith. But some people have missed this point completely. In other words, how in the world did a man, and I know there's lots of teachers on TBN and Daystar and a lot of good ones, and I think he's a good one, you know. I mean, he's really a good teacher, but that one point, he's wrong. I mean, anytime you tell me that you do not have to confess sin anymore, you've missed it. Because if you sin, see, here's something that we miss. When we sin, we fall from grace. When we fall from grace, we fall back under the law. So now then, you're going to be led by the law. That's just like driving out there on that highway. When I get in my car and I'm driving down that highway, if the speed limit says 70 miles an hour, what am I supposed to do? Drive 70 or under, right? Okay, if I want to drive 65, is that okay? If I want to drive 55, is that okay? Do they have a minimum speed out there? I don't know it. If it did, I've never seen it. You know, I mean, is there a minimum speed on the interstate? I don't know. Like, if there is, I've never seen it. You know, used to, they'd say maximum 70 and minimum 45. But I hadn't seen those signs in a long time. So they may still be out there. I just don't see them. But I do know that the speed limit maximum is posted pretty regular. It says speed limit 70 miles an hour. I know that I'm supposed to drive 70 or under, and if I do, they have no legal right to stop me for nothing, right? And usually they won't, so you won't have to have no problem. But that's, I'm supposed to continue from a pure heart, and I'm supposed to walk in faith. I'm, you know, some people have missed this point completely, and they've turned away from learning, walking by faith. Next, go ahead and read a little more, honey, next verse. Okay, there we are. Seven.
They want to be known as teachers of the law of Moses, but they don't know what they're talking about, even though they speak so confidently. We know that the law is good when used correctly.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I studied this out years. I mean, I read about the law, and to me it was very confusing. One area you read about how you're under law, and then you read a place where it says you're not under law, but you're under grace. And so I get to thinking, well, what am I? So anyway, it's scattered all over the book. And so anyway, when you finally come to a scripture like this one that Cheryl's fixing to read, the next one, I want you to read the next verse and see what it says.
For the law was not intended for people who do what is right. It is for people who are lawless and rebellious.
Okay, now hold it a second right there. Who is the law for? According to the word, who is the law for?
The
Is it for the righteous Christian?
No.
Do we have to worry about the law as righteous Christians?
No.
No, we're not under the law. Not under the law at all. So when I go out there on that freeway, if I drive under 70 miles an hour, I don't have to worry about the police stopping me. You know, there's nothing, there's not anything wrong. They don't stop me. They let me go, and I can just barrel down the road. It's 65, 70 miles an hour, or 50 miles an hour, whatever I want to do. And I have no problem, and they don't want, because I'm not under law. I'm under grace. And the grace is I have the privilege to drive my car on the highway. You know, that's grace. You know that? You know, they don't have to give you that right. They give it to you because they want to. And the same way here with this. These people, the law, this scripture is for those that are, we'll read that again. Start at the beginning of that verse.
For the law was not intended for people who do what is right. It is for people who are lawless and rebellious, who are ungodly and sinful, who consider nothing sacred and defile what is holy, who kill their father or mother or commit other murders. The law is for people who are sexually immoral or who practice homosexuality or are slave traders, liars, promise breakers, or who do anything else that contradicts the wholesome teaching.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. Who is the law for? The law is for those that disobey God. Now, did he give a pretty nice long list of different things? Now, if you happen to be a homosexual and you say it's okay, I can be a homosexual if I want to. You're under law. I mean, you know, and God's going to judge you. You know, if you're sexually immoral, if you're sleeping around with people that you ain't, I mean, a man that has a wife and he goes out of town and he has, a girlfriend on the road somewhere, and he goes to bed with her while he's out of town, he's sexually immoral. And is he under law?
Yep.
I guarantee. So guess what God's going to do? He's going to judge him. He's going to get a spanking. You won't like it either. I guarantee you won't like it. Because, you know, I'm teaching you the truth. Do I want you to get judged? No, I don't want you to be judged. I want you to know that you, as a son and daughter of God, you have got to straighten your act up and you got to walk in obedience to his word. Is that what it said?
Yes.
Okay, read that. Start at the top of that. For the law has, start right there at the beginning of that.
For the law was not intended for people who do what is right. It is for people who are lawless and rebellious, who are ungodly and sinful, who consider nothing sacred and defile what is holy, who kill their father or mother or commit other murders. The law is for people who are sexually immoral or who practice homosexuality or are slave traders or liars or promise breakers or who do anything else that contradicts the wholesome teaching.
Wow. So who is the law for? The lawbreaker. It's for the wicked. So if I'm a child of God doing my best to go to church, walk in love, tithe, and do everything God told me, and to walk in love with my neighbor and everything, am I under the law? No. The law, I'm under grace. And if I'm under grace, then there's no sickness under grace. No sickness. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to be sick. You know, you can live your whole life from whenever you're born. Just like Gary a while ago, I think about Gary's thinking about how unworthy he felt. But God doesn't see him like that. God sees him as the righteousness of God in Christ. And so when he as a son of God is doing his best to walk in obedience to God's word, to do what God says, Jesus is very pleased with his son because he is looking at him through the eyes of Jesus. So even although Gary doesn't see himself quite like that yet, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ and I'm unworthy to get this. But Paul even said, I'm the chief of all these sinners too. But you know, he knew who he was. But as Gary prayed for that little boy with that problem and prayed, and I don't know how many times they said he prayed, but he prayed several times, God heard his prayer and healed that boy. You know what some people do? Some people will never pray over nothing, or they'll pray over something one time. and say, that's it, that's all it took, if you have to pray more than once. And some people have that kind of faith. In fact, one of the ladies told me a while ago, she asked me if I knew Smith Wigglesworth, and I said, not personally, of course, but I said, I heard about him. But she said, did you hear about him when you were young? I said, no, I didn't learn about Smith Wigglesworth till I was much, much older. But I said, he was one of the greatest men of faith that I ever saw in my life. He raised about 23 people from the dead. In fact, his wife was one of the ones he raised from the dead, Polly. And I think about that story when Smith was the kind of guy that when he had his church in England, he found out that this over the hill over here, there was a pastor that had a church and people got healed over there. So every Sunday after church, he loaded everybody up in the wagon and he took them over there and had them prayed for. And many of them got healed. Finally, one day, the pastor asked him, said, can't you pray in your own church? What are you bringing these guys over here for? He said, well, I never prayed for them over there. He said, well, that's why you ain't getting nobody healed. You ain't praying. He said, that's all I do is I pray in faith. He said, now, you know, he knew he was driving these people all the way over here and then taking them all the way back because they can get healed in your church. So the next Sunday, he started praying to the people at his church. And guess what?
They got healed.
He was amazed at what it done. But at 87 years of age, at a funeral, preaching a funeral, Smith Wigglesworth stepped up to the podium and dropped dead at 87. Now, I can't think of a better way to go than preaching the Word of God, you know, and be in perfect health and just die, right? Go home to be with Jesus, can you? But he was one of the greatest men of faith. How many of you have ever read any of the books about Smith Wigglesworth? Okay, good. Praise the Lord. He was quite a man, wasn't he? Wow. Quite a man. Spend the day with Smith Wigglesworth, you've had a great day. But anyway, read that verse one more time, honey.
For the law was not intended for people who do what is right. It is for people who are lawless and rebellious, who are ungodly and sinful, who consider nothing sacred and defile what is holy, who kill their father or mother or commit other murders. The law is for people who are sexually immoral, or who practice homosexuality, or are slave traders, liars, promise breakers, or who do anything else that contradicts the wholesome teaching.
Okay, praise the Lord. So we see from that verse, or those two verses, that there's truly a born-again, spirit-filled Christian that's walking in love and walking in obedience to God's word is not under that law, is he, George? A born-again Christian. Now then, what if you're lying to your wife? You're breaking the law. Is that right? Does God say he hates liars? Yes, so even that. And so you wonder why God don't answer your prayer. You wonder why you have problems. I mean, you know, if just like husbands love your wives, or I will not answer your prayer. Now, if there was not any other scripture in the Word of God besides that one, that when I think about the number of people that I get to pray for, and the prayers that God answers for me, if I get into something crossways with my wife and I don't treat her like a lady, and if I don't, he says, well, son, I just ain't going to answer your prayer. If he says I ain't going to answer your prayer, I'm in trouble. Is that right, George? I'm in big trouble. Because if you come to a church and for a few Sundays and you never see a testimony, never have an answer to prayer, eventually you're going to say, well, this guy's not teaching the truth. He's teaching something, but it ain't working. It's not working for me. Just like Paula sitting there. You know, I mean, she came here for a while and she listened to God's word. And I think Betty's the one that sent her over here, I think. But she come over here because she said, I see people get healed over here all the time. So Paula came over here. She'd been sick for years. And lo and behold, guess what? I think Mike and Gracie, didn't y'all pray for her? Yeah, and God healed her, but when Mike and Gracie prayed for her, and she's been healed ever since. So I mean, today we praise the Lord for that. We thank you. And you notice that God answers the prayer of all of the prayer warriors in this church. The ones that have been set aside, he answers your prayers. And I'm grateful. Let's go to the next verse and see what else he says here.
Okay, that goes from the last verse. Who do anything else that contradicts the wholesome teaching that comes from the glorious good news entrusted to me by our blessed God. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him. Even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ, In my insolence, I persecuted his people, but God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. Praise God. Oh, how generous and gracious our Lord was. He filled me with the faith and love that come from Christ Jesus.
Okay. If you look at what Cheryl just read, some of you got a hold of that just like she did. She had to stop in the middle of a sentence and say, praise God. Because I did all these things, Lord, in unbelief. I didn't know out of ignorance. Yes, I used to do this. I used to do that. I was, you know, I'd done all kinds of sins. And some of you in this room are just like some of the rest of us. You've committed every kind of sin there is. Now, you did it in ignorance and unbelief, but as you have learned what God requires, you've straightened up your act, right?
Yes.
You know, in fact, I had three boys back there at the healing school, a couple, two or three schools. And they were, all three of them were black boys, but they were big, big, big boys. I mean, you know, they must have weighed 300 pounds. I mean, they were truck drivers. They were big boys. And they come in and sat down on that back row back there and grabbed me and said, Pastor, we got to tell you something. I said, what's that? They said, somebody give us your CDs at a truck stop. And we started listening to your CDs and said, we had no idea what all was in that Bible. Said, we go to church when we can, but we had no idea what God's Word says. And we listened to you about sexual immorality and all that stuff and said, when you started teaching it, we had to stop, open the Bible and read it. And lo and behold, we found out the Bible said exactly what you said. So he said, you have changed our life forever. We have decided that we have asked God to forgive us of all sexual immorality from Atlanta to Los Angeles and back, of every sexual sin. And Lord, we will never, ever commit sexual sin. All three of them said, Lord, we will never go to bed with a woman that's not our wife. Never again. He said, you've changed our life forever. Now, do you think that's what God wants? Yes, he wanted to touch them boys' heart, and because they had never heard the truth that God will judge sexual immorality, they just went ahead and sinned. And think, okay, God will forgive me. It's like the girl up at the barbershop here a while back, you know, that when I went in, that girl, I said, are you a Christian? She was a new girl, and I said, she said, yes. I said, well, good. I said, where do you go to church? And she told me a church over in Denton, and I said, well, great. I said, what kind of good things is God doing in your life lately? And she said, well, he just gave me another son. I said, well, fantastic. How many children do you have? She said, I got two now. And I said, how long have you and your husband been married? Married? Well, I'm not married. I said, you're not married? I thought you told me you were a Christian. Now, I mean, from what the scripture says, it says Christians don't do this, right? Christians don't live in sexual immorality. Christians don't hate. Christians walk in love. True Christians. I said, ma'am, you need to get in the Word. You need to repent. And she said, well, you know, I know it's wrong to do what I'm doing, but God will forgive me. I said, but when you ask forgiveness, the scripture says you're not to do it again. I said, whenever the woman was caught in adultery, you know, Paula, you'll know the answer to this. Whenever that woman was caught in adultery and she repented for her sins, what did the Lord tell her to do? He said, now go and sin no more. Is that what he's telling all of us? Yes, and that's just like this scripture says here. As we look at him and look at what he's done and how we've done this in ignorance, because some of us really was not raised up in a good teaching Christian home. And so you didn't know that sexual immorality was wrong. You didn't know it. You'd never heard anybody tell you that it's wrong to go out and get drunk and be plastered, you know. You didn't know, so you just went out and did it anyway. You know, thinking, well, everybody else does it. Isn't that what we do? We try to live the way everybody else does, and so we do, and we have no idea there's a consequence to all of our sins. And so then we start having sickness and disease and everything else, and then finally one day you run into somebody and says, well, you know, when's the last time you had somebody ask you, like John 9:1 says, when the boys come up to Jesus and they said, Lord, who sinned that this man was born blind? Have you ever heard a question like that asked in church? Who sinned that this man's born blind? Who sinned? Nobody ever mentions the curses and the blessings. No, nobody talks about them. But anyway, when you obey God and do what he says, he is a wonderful Lord. And just like I got tickled as Cheryl was reading there when she read that part. I did it in unbelief or ignorance, Lord. And so he forgives us. Lord, thank you. And I heard several of y'all do the same thing. All of us. But God, wow. But God, only God, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, can you tell the lady that's going to be
baptized to go change.
Okay, yeah. The lady, who is the lady that's going to be baptized? Okay, if you'll go into the nursery and or into the bathroom in the nursery or something and get your baptismal stuff on, we'll go back there and baptize you. Have we got the baptismal tank full of water?
Everything's ready.
Okay. Okay. Oh, yeah, I was going to pray for Jeff while we're waiting for her. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you for Jeff and Jeff Coulter and, Lord, his willingness to go all the way to Panama just to pray for a couple that's got two children that are dying. Now, Lord, we thank you in advance for forgiving that couple. We remit their sins, and we know they're going to get better, and we know they're going to get well quick. Lord, the last child that we sent Jeff up to Pennsylvania to pray for, the child got healed completely within 3 days. And Lord, we thank you that little child, when the doctor said that that little child will not live another 3 weeks, and Jeff went up there and got the parents to repent of their sins, which they had some serious sins against each other. And when they forgave and Jeff prayed, the little boy was healed completely in 3 days. Now, Lord, we thank you for that. And this, we ask you to give Jeff knowledge, wisdom, revelation, and understanding as he goes out to Panama to pray and to get this people set free so he can be, so Lord, we want to teach people the truth, because the Word of God, the truth, will set us free, and it'll heal your people, and it'll let them be able to live a long, healthy life. And we want everybody to have a chance to live a long, healthy life. And I thank you for blessing Jeff and keeping him safe and watching over him, giving him direction, everything, that he might have a great trip. Now, Father, while they're preparing for baptism, we want to pray for our Psalms 91 stuff. We want to pray for the people, pray for our government. We want everybody to walk in holiness and obedience to your word. And Lord, we're going to proclaim the wonderful teachings of Psalm 91, that everybody that we pray over, all these pastors, all these police officers, all these responders, and everything that Bill has been going and giving these cards to, that they will read those Psalm 91 cards every day, and it will protect them. And we will see in the next year or two, we'll see a dramatic change in the number of injuries from our first offenders, our police officers, firefighters, and everything else, that those men will be protected by God, because we're asking you to do that, Lord. Now, Lord, we know this works. We've seen it. We have reports. We have results. And so we know it's going to work, and this is just going to be another place that we can say that in a year or two or 5 years from now, not one single police officer had been injured or wounded in duty. So, Lord, I thank you and praise you for watching over them and blessing them. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, are we ready on the baptism? Yes, honey.
Everybody probably knows that Bill Wagner's passing out the Psalm 91 pocket card to all the first responders, firemen, policemen, EMTs, whomever. And he has some over there. If you need some, get some from him. And we're also doing these cross pins. But I want to say that if anybody would like to help, he's got 2,200 or so that he has to mail to Austin. He has postage expense, as well as he's trying to get a table down at the Texas Police Chief Association down in the Woodlands by Houston. The table, if you don't get a nonprofit table, which that hadn't been approved yet, we have to pay $795 for a foyer table, and 3,200 police chiefs are going to come through. And that means that they'll get however many they need for their department to take, as well as the cross flags that were pins that we're giving them to. And so he's doing a lot of things. So if you'd like to give on your checks, if you'll just also, if you want to give an offering to put like Psalm 91 on it, then, you know, we'll pass that money on to him so that we can pay the $795. Plus, he's also going to the National Police Association chiefs, and possibly he's going to get to go sit, you know, meet with them, which is in New York. Okay. Washington, like Washington, D.C.? Okay. So there'll be expenses on that, too. So we've been helping him financially from the church, as well as other people are helping, too. We can get these printed up, 400 of them, $400 for 20,000 of them, which is very inexpensive. And so he's having to order another 20,000. He's already given over 10,000 out. And so Everybody, if you would like to help with this table, with the postage, for his trip expenses, the gas, he's gone everywhere. He's like a little, I don't know what to call him, but he's just really going everywhere. He's
praise
going all kinds of places, but he's given out a lot of these. So praise
like,
the Lord.
Yeah, just like the Lord says, even if you serve me, even in your old age, you will produce fruit for my kingdom. And that's what Bill's doing. Not that he's old, but he's getting up there, I will have to say. He's, 84, 87?
84.
86? Okay, praise God.